it seems, in a way, it seems odd introducing Kathy, because she comes as often here, and Alan come here about as often as some others that have membership here. They often drop in to see us, and you're always a blessing. We always love that. Let me just read the line. Come up and stand beside me, Kathy, is it? Kathy Peters will be speaking on human trafficking, sexual exploitation in BC, and what you need to know. Well, I guess that's a statement. I've chatted with her, and I said, you know, that would be really informative and helpful, just to know what is happening in that world that we are called to minister to. And so I know that I'll say, Kathy's going to speak, so we'll know who she is. Alan, if you've talked to any architects, they know who he is. He's a brilliant architect and has done work for people that I've met, and they said, oh, he's... So it's, we all get these different gifts, right, in our lives together. So, Alan, we're glad you're here as well. Thank you for coming. So would you welcome Kathy Peters? She'll give the introduction.
Hey, we're going to start with a couple of videos. Thailand. Russia. Malaysia. India, Romania, Ukraine, Bosnia, Haiti, Vietnam, Colombia, Mexico, Canada. ...93% of Canada's sex trafficking victims are Canadian. You can change this. She's not for sale.
It's a simple notion, the right to pursue happiness. It's bestowed upon all of us by our Constitution. Every citizen of this country has the right to pursue it. And I believe that it is incumbent upon us as citizens of this nation, as Americans, to bestow that right upon others, upon each other, and upon the rest of the world. But the right to pursue happiness for so many is stripped away. It's raped. It's abused. It's taken by force, fraud, or coercion. It is sold for the momentary happiness of another. Now, this is about the time when I start talking about politics that the internet trolls tell me to stick to my day job. So I'd like to talk about my day job. My day job is as the chairman and the co-founder of Thorn. We build software to fight human trafficking and the sexual exploitation of children. And that's our core mission. My other day job is that of the father of two, a two-month-old and a two-year-old. And as part of that job that I take very seriously, I believe that it is my effort to defend their right to pursue happiness and to ensure a society and government that defends it as well. As part of my anti-trafficking work, I've met victims in Russia, I've met victims in India, I've met victims that have been trafficked from Mexico, victims in New York and New Jersey and all across our country. I've been on FBI raids where I've seen things that no person should ever see. I've seen video content of a child that's the same age as mine being raped by an American man that was a sex tourist in Cambodia. And this child was so conditioned by her environment that she thought she was engaging in play. I've been on the other end of a phone call from my team asking for my help because we had received a call from the Department of Homeland Security telling us that a 7-year-old girl was being sexually abused and that content was being spread around the dark web. And she had been being abused and they'd watched her for 3 years and they could not find the perpetrator, asking us for help. We were the last line of defense. An actor and his foundation were the potential last line of defense. That's my day job, and I'm sticking to it. I'd like to tell you a story about a 15-year-old girl in Oakland. We'll call her Amy. Amy met a man online, started talking to him, short while later, they met in person. Within hours, Amy was abused, raped, and forced into trafficking. She was sold for sex. And this isn't an isolated incident. There's not much that's unusual about it. The only unusual thing is that Amy was found and returned to her family within 3 days using the software that we created.
My name is Mrs. Kathy Peters, and I'm just a mom. I love the Lord, and I've been following him since I was 14 years of age. I married a Christian man, Alan, at 27 years of age, and the joy of our hearts is our family of 3 children, a son and 2 daughters, Joshua, Joanna, and Lydia, ages 31, 29, and 26. My husband is an architect. I am a retired inner-city high school teacher where I taught in the Surrey area by the King George Highway over 30 years ago. Underage prostitution, which is in fact trafficking, was occurring in the area I taught. Many of my students were involved in gangs, drugs, and prostitution. We had bars on the windows. The police dogs came through our school many days of the week, and I was one of the few female teachers they hired at the school. I was also one of the only Christian teachers in the school. I loved it. I loved the challenge. I loved giving students hope and inspiring them to make something wonderful with their lives. Many of my students did not graduate from grade 10, so a goal I had was to encourage them to complete grade 10, then grade 12, and I had a number of students who went on to university. I coached sports, and that became an avenue of success for many of my students. Unfortunately, the environment I taught in, which at the time was pretty extreme, is now the new normal in many schools and communities. So what has changed? What has happened? After raising our children, I volunteered for 5 years for 2 members of parliament, Mr. John Weston from West Vancouver, Sunshine Coast, Sea to Sky in BC, and Mrs. Joyce Smith from St. Paul, Kildonan, Manitoba. I am now an advocate and speaker to the issue of human trafficking, sexual exploitation, youth and child exploitation, youth porn use and addiction here in BC. This is a tough issue. It's a deep issue because it gets to the very root of who we are, where we come from, literally our biological beginnings. This is a sacred place, a holy place, our personal beginnings. And today, this area of our lives and our humanity is becoming exposed, misused, abused, and exploited by a culture that is anti-God, anti-Christ, and anti-life. And now I've got another short video.
Long ago, a gardener planted a tree. It grew higher than all of the other trees, more beautiful than anything in the garden. Soon, the tree bore fruit, feeding all of the nearby people. They had never tasted anything so sweet. They ate and were satisfied. But one day, the tree was poisoned, and the fruit, though sweet to the taste, became bitter to their hearts. The fruit kept growing, and the people continued to harvest, but no matter how much they picked, they could never keep up. They grew weary and tired, exhausted and overwhelmed. For years, they picked the fruit only to see it grow back in greater number. And all the while, the roots of the tree speared deeper and deeper, infecting everything around them. It was the roots that carried the poison, the roots that grew the terrible fruit. And it was then that the people saw, to change the fruit, they had to change the roots.
We have a hypersexualized culture, which the internet, with its easy access to any information you want, has exacerbated. The good news is Christ in you is the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. In Christ, you can be the change this world needs. In Christ, you can do and live the impossible, because in Him, all things are possible. So why would an ordinary mother take on such an issue, such an evil? Why am I here talking about these things in a church service? It is because as Christians, if we do not address these issues, the world certainly cannot. God knows our beginnings. He created us. Only in Him can we speak to an issue so deep, so significant. Only God Himself can heal these deep places. He is the healer. He is the great physician. He is the great heart who can heal every broken heart. And that is the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him would have everlasting life. To every person here, I assure you, this is the greatest news there is. It is in God Himself we can find healing, wholeness, rest, and the peace that passes understanding. My husband Alan and I had our family recite the 23rd Psalm every night before bed. Psychiatrists have said it is the best therapy for good mental health, reciting the 23rd Psalm daily. This is a song of the Good Shepherd and how the shepherd keeps his flock. This psalm describes the richness of God's gentle goodness. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The key here is look away from yourself, trust Him with all, in all, and for all. Let God see to your wants. You need nothing outside of Him. He refreshes us when we are exhausted. He heals us when we are distressed. He restores us from wandering. He leads us in the right paths, though steep. He accompanies us into the valley with a club to stop our foes and a staff to keep us from falling. He spreads our table amidst hatred and protects us with two angels, goodness and mercy. I've been working on the issue of human trafficking, sexual exploitation, for the past 25 years. Due to the advent of the internet, it is the fastest growing crime in the world and in Canada, surpassing drug and weapon sales. Definition: human trafficking is recruiting, transporting, transferring, receiving, holding, concealing, harboring, or exercising control over a person for the purpose of exploiting them. The key word is exploitation. I first heard about this issue from a former RCMP officer who is now considered one of the top experts in child sex exploitation and sex tourism in the world. Brian McConaughey is a Christian man who founded Ratnack Foundation in Burnaby. He was one of the main speakers at Missions Fest this year. When he discovered that businessmen from Canada, USA, Europe visit the brothels in Cambodia specifically to buy sex with children as young as 4 and 5 years of age. It's such a shocking situation there that Canadians can hardly comprehend or understand it. 32% of children in Cambodia are lured, trafficked, tricked, and sold into the sex trade. Nepal is even worse. There, it is 67% of children are caught up in the sex trade. Their extreme poverty make them vulnerable targets. Doctors Jay and Maridel Rawlings, who spoke here many years ago, do wonderful work there to raise awareness and build safe houses for children and families. 9 years ago, we heard a presentation here at Valley Church from Benjamin Perrin, a UBC law professor who's written the textbook on human trafficking and sexual exploitation here in Canada called Invisible Chains. Our family was absolutely, and we were sitting right over here, we were shocked that this crime happened here in Canada. Our son, Joshua, I do show and tell. Our 5 years ago then, our son Joshua worked in Ottawa for former MP Mrs. Joy Smith. He actually made this. There she is. She is the foremost expert activist on this issue in crime in Canada. She introduced our laws on human trafficking in this country. Well, then Joshua, our son, volunteered me to work in her office in Ottawa. That's what children do. In Ottawa and Winnipeg, where I met victims of sex trafficking. These women were the same age as our daughters, and I was absolutely shocked by the stories of victimization. So let me tell you about Christine. I was given the assignment by Joy Smith. One of her victims wanted to go public and tell her story, so she's going to be interviewed by the local radio station and by CBC and then speak at a large conference. But she needed 24/7 care, because when a survivor comes out and goes public, they'll be killed. you can understand why. So Mrs. Smith phoned me up and said, would you be mom for 3 days and take care of Christine? Well, I heard this girl's story and I just couldn't believe it. I spent more time crying that 3 days. And here's her story. Grew up in a Canadian family, white Caucasian parents, mom and a dad, 6 children. She was the oldest at 11. Dad started to drink and the family fell apart. Mom could not cope and hold the family together. The 6 children were all put into foster care. The foster father sexually abused Christine. She was a smart girl, straight A student, played the flute, she was a track, she was a super athlete. She knew better, she knew it was wrong, she ran. But it was in Toronto, so she ended up on the streets. Within 2 hours, an elderly gentleman came to pick her up and said, come home with me. I have a house filled with children and girls just like you. That night, she was hooked on cocaine and alcohol, servicing 10 to 20 men every night, 7 days a week, for the next 10 years. Joy Smith helped her get out of that trade, had to get her off drugs, had to get medical help for her, and got her back in school. It took about 8 years before Christine could talk, and then she wanted to go public, so my job was to take care of her. You know, when she did her presentation on CBC, I'm sitting at the back, she's trying to talk, and I'm just bawling my eyes out. We got into the taxi afterwards, and she had to console me. Mrs. Peters, it's all right, it's all right. I just could not believe the story. So the federal law, the Protection of Communities and Exploited Persons Act, was passed just 2 years ago. And I took it upon myself, with the support of my family, to raise awareness about this crime, as well as to encourage enforcement of the law here in BC. So here's the law. Number one, it now targets the demand by targeting the buyer of sex, the predator, the pimp, the trafficker, the john, or criminalized. Number two, it recognizes the seller of sex as a victim, usually female, and is not criminalized. Number three, exit strategies are put in place to help the victim get out of the sex trade. Now, this law is huge and represents a radical shift in thinking and change of the law. By focusing the law on the actual source of the harm, the buyers of sex and the profiteers, the clear statement from Parliament is that girls and women in Canada, and here's the poster, are not for sale, that they are full human beings with dignity and human rights. So, for the first time, the man who founds an escort agency to deliver a woman to his hotel room is now breaking the law. So in the last 2 years, I've been in touch with every city council and every police agency in BC by letter and by email. I've spoken to the Premier, Caucus, MLAs, MPs. I work with the RCMP Serious Crimes Unit. I also give information to the VPD, the Special Crimes Investigation Team. I speak to city councils, school boards, universities, women's, men's, business, seniors, youth leadership community, and now, thank you, Lord, church groups. I implore politicians to act, and I simply ask for the two E's, the education of our youth and the enforcement of the law. The point is today, and this is what I want you to understand, today with the internet, the global sex trade is growing rapidly, and here's the really shocking reality. The target now is children. That is where the money is. What kind of society would tolerate children being bought and sold for sex? This is child abuse in its most heinous form. The USA is addressing the problem. That's why I wanted to show you that video of Ashton Kutcher. That video, by the way, went viral. President Trump announced at a recent press conference that human trafficking would be addressed in the USA. Canada has got to step up. We've got the law in place. We have to recognize, though, it's rapidly growing. Because if we don't, we will rapidly turn into a pimp and prey society. Every woman, girl, and child will become a potential target and victim. Our communities will no longer be safe, healthy, vibrant, or working. The last verse in the Old Testament is Malachi 4:6, and it speaks of the prophet Elijah coming to turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. To every father here, it is now your time. Your time to teach, love, serve, guide, protect, provide for, and cherish those children in your care. And you can only do that if you know the love and healing power of your Heavenly Father in your life. Pornography is the fuel to human sex trafficking. Pornography on the internet has become increasingly violent, hardcore, demeaning, dehumanizing, and brutal. If you are watching porn, get help to stop. It is highly addictive and completely will skew and twist your views of men and women relationships. Porn objectifies, commodifies, and dehumanizes both men and women. It robs both men and women of their God-designed humanity. Did I hear an amen? I thought I heard an amen somewhere. Thank you. The effect and influence of pornography, prostitution, trafficking, and the entire sex industry on our culture is so significant today that I consider it the most important social issue we are now facing. That is why I have to speak. And here's a statement I recently made to the Premier and to caucus. It is unacceptable for women and children to be bought and sold in a modern equal society. And she and caucus agreed with that statement. So to every person here, please know you are precious, you are special, you are unique, there is no one like you, and only God's love can ever satisfy you. That's why I love that hymn, the deep, deep love of Jesus. And here's a couple of life principles, and we share this with our children. What you take will take you. You take drugs, at some point they'll take you. You take sex, at some point it will take you. You take God, at some point God will take you. And your decisions, every decision you make, will determine your destiny and your future. Now, I don't know how this issue affects you. Perhaps you've had personal experience and been sexually abused this way. Perhaps you know children you are concerned about. Perhaps you have a porn problem. Or perhaps you've used or misused a young person sexually. Whatever your experience as a follower of Jesus Christ, I am here to encourage you to turn to Him. In BC, we are very concerned about the environment, but God is concerned about the environment. So to deal with the environment of our lives, I want you to consider four questions. Number one, have you been born again? That's John 3:5. Number two, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? That's Acts 1:8. Number three, have you reckoned yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God? Romans 6:11. And number four, have you presented your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service? That's Romans 12:1 and 2. The Bible tells of a religious man called Nicodemus who came to Jesus to learn more about him. Jesus told Nicodemus that he needed to be born again. Born again does not mean turning over a new leaf. It means having a new life. Because what I've learned about this issue, and the reason I picked that video, I call it a root issue, is that we cannot change ourselves into what God wants us to be. Only God, through Jesus Christ, by His Holy Spirit, can change us at our root. And He changes us by coming to live within us. He changes us from the inside out. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you activate your will and make a deliberate decision to fully surrender your life to Jesus Christ, your appetites will change. What you think about will change. Your desires will change. The things you used to be able to do with no problem, you won't be able to do anymore. Not because anybody told you, but because something inside of you has changed. This good news, and it's found in the scriptures if you read them, as God's love letter to you, will transform and change you. And this is the confidence I have for everyone in this room. But do you have that confidence for yourself? Romans 12:1 and 2, the order here with this verse is important. You commit your body first, then your mind can be renewed. Many scriptures speak about the sin of fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is a very powerful chapter, and it speaks a lot about fornication, a word we rarely hear today. Fornication is sex between people who are not married to each other. I just have to digress for a minute. I spoke at Columbia Bible College on Thursday. I was there all day, 8 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. I did chapel. I did a three-hour presentation at night, and I sat in the cafeteria and made myself available for all the students. I had 6 hours of students coming in and sitting down with me. I mean, they're in trouble. please understand, our young people are in trouble. And they don't know the word fornication. They don't even know what it is or what it means or what they're doing is wrong. And that was in a Bible college. How much more so for our youth that are out there in the world? And I would ask you to pray for me. The Lord's opened the doors for me to speak in high schools and, get this, to a boys' club. What an opportunity. So God says to flee fornication. Why? Because he's pure. He values purity. He calls us to be pure. And purity is our power. Purity is where your power is. The world screams at us to surrender that purity. God's call is to be pure. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That's Psalm 24, 3 and 4. Revelation is very clear that Jesus Christ is returning for a pure bride. Are you ready? Are you prepared to enter the bridal feast? You know, this is a solemn and critical consideration that the majority of Christians do not think about. And that's why it's such a privilege to speak today to this issue. Everyone in this room, you know, this is such an army here. You are the world changers. If you're willing to follow Jesus Christ by his Holy Spirit with everything you have, the key, Christ in you, is the hope of glory. Now, I have finished, and what I'm going to do is I've got handouts at the back, and I'm going to stand at the back. Marcel's got his table. I'm going to stand next to him with some handouts of what you can do. I don't want anybody in here to be depressed or discouraged going out of here. I want you empowered. I'm bringing hope to this congregation, because this congregation, in my heart and mind, is a beacon of light to the North Shore and really to the Lower Mainland. So I've got two handouts. One is a 30-day prayer guide. If you can do nothing else, put it up in your fridge and pray each day. The other handout is two pages with resources and tools and books that you can look up and strategies and things that you can do. Please pick those up. So I'll show this video that also gives strategies, and then at the end, I would like to end in prayer.
Our greatest weapon is education. We need to tell every school, every community center, every church, every family about human trafficking and how they can guard their children.
We have to start talking to boys about triple X porn and telling them that this has nothing to do with love, that this has nothing to do with relationships, that this has nothing to do with human rights. It has everything to do with power and abuse.
Often leaders are young people who write an impassioned plea or make a phone call to their elected legislators or their police department or their city mayor and say, you know what, I've heard about this problem and I want to know what you're doing to solve it. You represent me and you're supposed to be part of this solution. What are you doing today? And that's really how things get dealt with.
The first thing that I tell people to do is address the brokenness in your own life, because we're all a piece of this puzzle. Another thing you can do is start talking about sexual addiction. Start talking about the demand for paid sex.
And we have to look at, as a culture, at all of the ways that we contribute to sexual exploitation.
People are lonely, and I think we need to address this loneliness. So I often encourage people to live in community with other people, where you can live out the fullness of your humanity in relationship with other people, and you're not having to engage in some kind of a false intimacy.
Despite feeling like we don't have the talents and the skills and the resources, that you just do it. You just accept responsibility for other human lives that cannot defend themselves and realize you've got a tremendous opportunity.
Turn to your girlfriend beside you. Turn to your sister on the other side. Turn to your female classmates and ask yourself, would you like them to be trafficked? Would you like them to be forced into prostitution? Would you ever envision them being so poor that they had to do this for a living? Is this what you would want for your sister or for your mother or for your niece or your cousin? You know, you have to ask yourself these questions. Would you want this for your daughter? If you say no, then it should never be someone else's daughter.
I think that change is possible. I think that it can happen. I have hope for that.
Hope.
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 I could just ask everybody to stand up. And I'm going to pray for this congregation, if you would allow me that freedom. Heavenly Father, you know about this sin, and you know about this stronghold that has gripped the whole world. But it's also gripped our own community. And I ask, Holy Spirit, where these strongholds are in place, here on the North Shore, in North Vancouver, in the Lower Mainland, in our province, in our country, that you would expose them. We pray for every young woman, every girl, every child that is currently enslaved as a sex slave in this country, that you would give them, speak to their hearts that there's a way through, there's a way out, there's deliverance, that you are there for them. And I pray for every man, boy, and some women are madams, every man and boy that exploits and uses women for their own sexual pleasure, that you would convict every single one of them that this thing is wrong and you hate it. Lord, this is your heart. It's the children. And I pray this congregation would have the burden and heart to pray. But I also pray that this congregation would be a clean and holy and pure people. May your will be done. Not only your will, Lord, but your perfect will be accomplished in every life in this room for your purposes, for your glory. In Jesus Christ, amen.
Stay here for a sec. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you may be seated. You left me hanging here. You could have taken twice as much time and still found us interested. I'm going to ask just a couple of questions that I've been thinking about. You've had quite a bit of interest in the police wanting to know, like, I mean, in the good sense. Can you tell why, how does that, they want you to come?
Yeah, pray. Would you please pray for me? It's almost like the door has just opened and I'm able to walk through. The Lord has given me the privilege to hang out at Serious Crimes Unit in Surrey at headquarters. I've already had a full day there and I've spoken to all the top officers. They didn't even know about the law. So I had to present and give them the law, and then I had to say, well, you need to enforce it. Well, then they said to me, but this crime doesn't happen here because we don't get complaints. So that's why I'm also speaking to the public, saying, if you know anybody being used in this way, sexually assaulted, raped, please report it, because then the police have to step up and learn about it. Now, the interesting thing, it is a federal law. BC right now is behind. We are the best place to traffic human beings, not only in Canada, but in North America, because we are not charging the buyers of sex, even though we have the law in place. So the good news is the police are letting me speak to them. They are letting me give them my materials. They are open. I'm now on a committee to try to come up with some strategies. So I think, and here I'm just a mom. I'm not a psychologist, and I'm not a police officer, and they're asking for my help. Kind of like Ashton Kutcher. He goes, but I'm just a Hollywood actor, and the FBI go to him. It's kind of interesting how the Lord works that way. And I say to any one of you, if you yield your lives to the Lord, hang on for where he's going to take you.
Okay, we'll take one question, and we'll have some coffee. John.
Provincial.
Provincial or federal? If the law exists, why isn't our government directing the police about the law and how to do it? I mean, we've had this law on the book for how long? And how many
2 years.
There's
a lot of charges been laid in this country. It's BC that's behind. My target, my mandate right now is BC only. Please understand this. Law enforcement, the law is enforced by province. So it's up to each province. So that's why I speak to the premier. That's why I speak to caucus. So it's provincial. So Alberta's doing a good job. Ontario's doing a fantastic job. So is Quebec. So is Nova Scotia. It's just here right now. Yes, I agree with you. The prime minister could really push this thing. I agree. He's chosen to be quiet about it. But the premier here in BC has a lot of power. Even if you wrote a letter to her and say, enforce the law. Did you know one letter in here represents 10,000 people? If you write three letters, the premier will pay attention. So would you please write a letter to the premier and say, enforce the law? She'll listen to you.
All right. Now, we want to, you're speaking again, and you have free, next time there's even more time you can have. But it's challenging, isn't it? Thank you, Kathy. Thank you so much. Let's give her a hand. And when you go for coffee, join us on the patio, Alan, if you would.